The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, listening audience, and welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Deborah Deal.
And today, we're going to talk about construction. We're not going to talk about construction in politics. We're not, although there's a lot of things we can talk about, but today is dedicated to the craftsmen of the industry. So I want persons again.
Okay.
Put out their pens and pads and all the homeowners and wives and persons who want to learn something new, mm-hmm. get close to the radio,
yep.
and so it begins. Now, Debbie, we were doing our whole estimating
yes.
of the house. We got distracted. We got a lot of things done.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to take this opportunity to let's go back into that. Let's get back into that because as we learned and we talked about a bit too at our luncheon on Wednesday past, and it's a continuation of the conversation that John Michael Clark had about the estimating course that mm-hmm. is being offered by Veritas Consultants Limited. Right. You have to get the price right first.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes, even as contractors, we underscore or we underestimate the importance of getting the price right. The price...
Until you've done it once where you got caught.
And then you did it wrong.
And then... You will be very observant.
And let's be honest to something. Let me be honest, and I want to really get the public.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, it's good. I want to get the public to understand something. If Debbie or myself gives you an estimate, it's called an estimate for the reason. We estimate it can cost this. I think sometimes we are, in certain instances,
mm-hmm.
an estimate is your best guess.
Right.
Even within all the science, it is your best guess. Because I can tell you, no estimate is exact. You and I can estimate the same thing. We will not come with the exact same number down to the penny.
Yeah.
We may be within a range of $15, $20, $100,
$300. Yeah. We've already done one of those. Yeah.
But no two people will come up with the exact
same
number down to the penny. That's because it's an estimate.
Even if you buy plywood at four different stores, it's going to be four different prices. Yes.
So I think sometimes we need to appreciate that to the individual's best ability. He is or she is trying to determine what the projected, because this is the future. I haven't done it yet. Projected cost of this project may be.
Well, the word estimate just says exactly that. It's not a defined price.
It didn't say
it's not like a proposal.
Guaranteed price. It is an estimate
of what
it should cost.
Right.
And we say this loosely because it's within reason.
Mm-hmm.
Let us say something. If you're doing something over and over and over, you have a better idea of what the estimated cost will be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you're doing it for the first time, the chances are your estimate could have a greater degree of variance. That's reality.
Because you're going to forget things.
Listen, let me say something, and I want to say this to the public. I know a company called Closets, etc. I can estimate a closet. I guarantee they could estimate it 10 times better than I. Why is that?
Well, she has a program, number one.
And?
and that's all she does is classes.
That's all she does.
Yeah.
So you see the level of, she can look at a space, yeah, okay, I'm probably going to need this, this, and this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. I can look at the space, okay, I'm going to measure that, I need that. Then I can start coming, well, how much hardware do I need? How much this one?
And
she's going to just look at it.
Yeah,
I
need this, 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 this. 12-inch strips. You really don't get four out of a piece of plywood.
She's going to have all that information that she's already known.
Yeah,
because she's done it hundreds of times. She's yep, I'm gonna do that, that, that. And the other person who's a novice, and we already are figuring it out for the first time. And so, shoot, we forgot this. Oh, we missed that. That's where estimating takes on a different spin, especially when we come to residential work. And estimates are different. I want to talk more about what's different about estimates. Debbie and the contractors could tell you it's a lot harder to estimate renovation work than new work.
Yeah, because you don't know what you're going to find.
You have no idea.
Yeah, but I love it. Yeah. I don't want to.
You have
I don't
to have an
app
for it because it's a lot of unforeseen. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you have to use more of your experience than anything technical. You have to know that I've done this enough that when I open up this wall, this one may be an issue. That may be an issue. It's an experienced person should really approach and take on estimating renovation work because it is tricky.
Mm-hmm.
New work, blank slate. Everyone's starting on equal footing.
Right.
And you more than likely could be comparative to persons who estimated. Renovation work, that's a craft. That's a skill within itself.
Well, a lot of contractors don't like to do. But you know what I found after the 43 years of being in the business, all right? It's not always, the economy is not always where a lot of people are getting mortgages and building houses.
No.
Like back in the early 80s, it was like First Home and Finco. I mean, it was just endless.
It was a boom, yeah.
It was endless.
Contractors were doing five and 10 houses a year.
So when the economy goes down, you still want to work. You still have to feed your family, right? So then what'll happen is people will renovate their house.
Yeah, do
they'll
smaller
either add
than.
On, they'll turn a garage into a two bedrooms, they'll do that kind of stuff, right? And I found that I really enjoyed that. To me, it's a challenge, but I love that challenge. You know, it's almost like I feel like some people say, when no one else wants to do it, they'll ask me.
Now, that's a good way to look at it. I look at it this way. A renovation, to me, is breathing new life, continuing a story of a building that's probably had better days, and you're ensuring that they have future better days.
Right.
That's
how
I look at it. Because we're gonna listening audience, we're gonna romanticize construction because this is our thing. And today you're gonna fall in love with it or hate it because we're gonna get you all gooey about construction. I mean, this is for us. There's an intimacy in the craft of building.
You get very attached to your job.
You get very attached
to your job.
We call it our projects because it's personal.
And when you turn that job over to the owner, it's very difficult to actually do that.
Yeah. And or when something isn't happening right in it, it keeps us up at night. People don't think about us in the way you think about a doctor dealing with a difficult client. We get the difficult part of project.
Oh, yes.
We don't sleep too.
Oh, yeah.
It's that intimate to us.
It is. Very
because the end product is
reflective,
end, reflective of us, our skill,
not the name of our company.
Attention. No,
it's us.
Yes. And you know, and I want to say something here, which is interesting. And it shifted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed, and I'm going to say because I know you've done the same thing I did. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, if you look back, peel back the layers, most construction companies was the name of the owners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Most. I don't know if you ever heard of Debbie Deal Construction or something Deal Construction.
No.
But,
I know Deal Construction.
Okay.
Yeah.
But most of them.
Yeah.
My dad's company was L. Sands Construction.
Right.
I know Moss Construction. I literally, everyone I knew 30 years ago, the company was either the first letter dot last name construction
Trico,
company.
Moscow.
Because you're doing business with that individual and or his family.
Yes.
Today, because of how we have structured businesses now, and we both do the same thing with our companies and for litigation and all those things, our company is not our names.
Mm-hmm.
Our company is a name.
Mm-hmm.
Company Limited was not. It will not have our name in it.
Right.
And that's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But in that intentionalness, I think what we did too is people feel less of us when we did that. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing business with L Sands Construction and you're shaking mm-hmm. their hand rather than doing business with XYZ Construction Incorporated. Right. You don't feel the same kind of relationship.
I don't even know who the owners of those businesses are.
No, you don't.
No, because there's a project going up on Village Road right now. And
you see the name. You don't know who the contractor is.
I don't know who the contractor is. I don't know who the owner is. I know the name of the company. I've seen it around mm-hmm, town a lot. But I don't have the slightest idea who owns the company.
Exactly.
So and I could run into them at JBR
and you
or
won't know.
In the States or somewhere and, you won't and know. Never know.
And that's not a bad thing. We're just talking about how the business of construction
changes
its transition.
Yeah, it has to.
But getting back to the love, and we talked mm-hmm. about shows that you and I both, you know, I grew up on. You watch a lot because it was generally a Canadian/American-based show for North America, This Old House.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love that
why
show.
I loved that show, and it taught me to appreciate construction because, and we were talking about it off air, if you sometimes just quiet the noise.
I bought all the magazines.
And just look around your community. Mm-hmm. You'd find an old house you like.
Yeah.
You would. Mm-hmm. And continuing with that conversation, okay, you find an old house that you like, mm-hmm. that you think is cool on your street. What would it look like if you got together with the community and restored that old house?
And what would you do with it once you restored it?
And what would you do? Why wouldn't it be? And this is a concept that I thought was cool for mm-hmm. contractors and people in the community. Okay, let's say you live in your community, right? Mm-hmm. It may not have an old house because I know you live. But let's say further down the street on mm-hmm. Eastern Road.
On Eastern Road.
There's an old house.
Right.
And you know, so you guys, all the guys, people from your community right. and neighboring across the streets and all that, y'all right. come together, y'all mm-hmm. restore this old house. Mm-hmm. And what if y'all decide to make it a children's library for kids to come after school, mm-hmm. sit down quietly, could read books, could do their homework in this old, restored Bahamian house. Mm-hmm. And you pass on two things. An educational opportunity for those young persons, mm-hmm. and also a second life for that old house that preserves the kind of the history and context of that area. Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be cool, but is there a zoning issue with that? Because you'd be doing something that would be not residential any longer.
You're not charging a fee for it. It's still the house.
Maybe. And what about parking? Would people park?
Well, here's the idea.
Unfortunately, those are the things that pop automatically into my head.
But here's the idea. Mm-hmm. It's in your community. So you're thinking it's community kids.
Yeah.
So they're walking there. They're riding there on their bicycles.
Well,
it's community house.
Back in the day,
yeah.
a schoolhouse was a house.
A schoolhouse was a house.
It was a house.
Why can't... So in our conversation from the BCA, because I grew up in this area. So mm-hmm. I spent the last hour... Mm-hmm. Driving around the old homestead between Finlayson Street, mm-hmm. Meeting Street, all the way down to Bay Street, Virginia Street. And I'm like, there's such amazing old houses from back in the 30s, 40s, still
there.
There
was those big, beautiful houses that looked like they were from Australia.
Yes.
There was about three or four of them in a row. I love those.
They're all over Bain and Grant's town. Mm-hmm. And I say to myself, with all the challenges we have in this community, how great would have been for us to restore one or two of those houses, make them quiet spaces. You know, let's steal something. Now, I don't advocate stealing, but I want to steal this. When I was project manager for Starbucks, part of the logic behind what Starbucks worked as a business concept is because it created the third space. And they call it the third space. You got your house, you got your office, and then the Starbucks is the third space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine for young people, and I say young people, I'm talking about under 15, right. kids who still need guidance and mm-hmm. they need sheltering, they need things.
Right.
What if you take an old house in your community, and I want this to be a community thought, mm-hmm. in your community, you take this old house, could be small, big, whatever, and you fill it, like I said, books, reading material, mm-hmm. one or two computers, you could go and do some research, what's not, and quiet spaces. And that old home on the street becomes the third space for young people in the community to hang out, to connect with one another. In the backyard, like we had old houses, which mm-hmm. you always have, a swing.
Yeah.
You also had always, you take a tree and you put benches all around it, and it becomes a meeting space for all the kids.
Right.
There is such opportunity to join construction activities and the further development of communities that we don't take advantage of.
Yeah. And you know what comes to mind is there's so many empty old buildings. Boy, you drive down... East Street. Okay, you pass the police station, you go down, mm-hmm. and as you go down,
by all the campuses and all the beautiful buildings.
Old buildings there that are run down, nobody's doing anything with. They could be utilized.
They can.
Here we keep talking about we have to clear some more land and build 1,000 houses, and they're just going to be like cookie cutter houses. Mm-hmm. But we've got all of these things
with
that we could actually
already.
Do something with. I mean, yeah. we need to change the laws so that it's not illegal for a government or whatever to not
possess a home and make
it take the property and do something with it. You know, if you haven't done anything with it, your family hasn't done anything with it. And you know, nobody is taking accountability for it. Nobody's paying taxes mm-hmm. on the property any longer. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some kind of a law where it says you have an extraordinary meeting like we've been mm-hmm. talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, well, this, we could use this in the community,
yeah.
right? We have some single mothers mm-hmm. that don't have a place to stay. Mm-hmm. We need a shelter for women mm-hmm. who are being abused, right? Mm-hmm. There's all these different things that we can do.
You may need, so that house is for that. Then you have another house further down the street in the community, a shelter for kids.
Yes,
yes. Then
yes.
you have another house in the community
right.
for persons who need rehabilitation
yes.
from drugs or alcohol. And they're all in your community.
And then what you do is you go for sponsors. You look at people in the country, anywhere in the country. I mean, because we have, you know, mm-hmm. where we go 300 and something miles. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And we look for persons who would want to be involved in something like that.
And you can find them. But mm-hmm. here's an addition to that. So you now do that. You have in the community, find a little house that's for the persons who may have domestic violence challenges mm-hmm. and they need mm-hmm. a place in their community.
Yeah.
Right? Or mm-hmm. in a community. Mm-hmm. And for the children mm-hmm. and for persons who need rehabilitation and also for the elderly. Mm-hmm. I think it's sometime to me, and this is close to my heart, I don't like the fact that we take the elderly mm-hmm. out of their community, plunk them somewhere strange, and leave them there for the next 15, 20 years to die. That's not my cool thing.
Fortunately, we don't do much of that here because there's hardly
do that
any
here
of them.
But even when we do, it's still removing them from where they grew up their entire lives.
Well, yeah, they won't be living in their own house because you need to take care of them. So they come and live in one of the bedrooms in your house, and they're alone because you're working. Your kids have moved off. Mm-hmm.
If you had a house, and let's say it had 4 or 5 rooms, mm-hmm. all right, now 4 or 5 older persons are living together
right.
with a nurse on premises who right. lives in the house,
right.
in one of the rooms of the house. Mm-hmm. The grounds are for them to spread out and interact, and the family members
can come see them.
And they're not transiting, they're not going all the way, they're right there, they're close. I mean, I just think that we haven't worked hard enough as professionals in the built environment, to sit with our friends who are architects and designers, interior designers, space planners, city planners, and think about how do we all work together to better our community. I'm going to take the first hit on, we don't do enough of that. We don't have enough conversations across the construction spectrum. How do we lend our talents to our country?
Because we don't develop our areas like they do in I'll say Canada because I know how they do it in Canada. They basically take a space, and when they develop it, they don't just develop it with houses. They do churches, mm-hmm. gas stations, stores, parks. Mm-hmm. They plan the entire thing out mm-hmm. so that it's not missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the persons that are living in those homes, they don't have to go miles to get whatever
any
they want to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I forget. There is a name for it, but my brain
other place at this point.
Yeah.
But that's what, yeah, and you're mm-hmm. right. That's we need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for us to do that, the first step, and my friend, college friend of mine, we had a few drinks on Friday last, and we talked about how the first step in everything is having a conversation
about urban planning.
Yeah, urban planning. Mm-hmm. The first step of doing anything, let's have conversations about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we don't have, and this is what I'm saying, we don't have enough conversations about the possibilities of doing something. If we have enough conversations about the possibility of doing something, at some point in time, mm-hmm. we can sit down and plan. Okay, now we talked about it enough.
Mm-hmm.
What's the plan? Okay,
right.
The plan is we identified that house.
Right.
Okay, what's the next step? Oh, see our friends from the Surveying Society?
Right.
We call them, hey, do you know who owns this house?
Mm-hmm.
The house has been vacant for
30
years.
They'll send you the land and surveys.
Guess what?
Yep.
Actually, the family mm-hmm. is nowhere to be found anymore. They moved away. This
right.
house is vacant.
Mm-hmm.
Can we request legally,
mm-hmm.
for whatever process it is,
mm-hmm.
not to take possession of the house for ownership,
no,
but to take over the care of the home. Because she's not trying to possess the home for ownership. Mm-hmm. We're trying to just have access to make the home habitable again for the said purpose of this community. And I'm sure there's a pathway to that.
Yeah, there must be. But you need to have some kind of security. Because imagine if, let's say, the BCA decided they were going to do a project like that, and they secured the property they thought, and then they spent, maybe we invested $300,000 or $400,000 in this process, and then all of a sudden somebody comes out of the woodwork with a pretend piece of paper saying that they own it, right?
And then
there you go, you know. Yeah. So there and has so to you be go something,
through,
but yes,
but that's why you go through the process with the surveyors,
and that's why I still keep talking about think tanks. Mm-hmm. You know, a bunch of people getting together and just throwing ideas out
and see what sticks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the ideas. I hope that would stick.
For the community we really need to do.
Yeah, and that's a good idea. We're going to write it down, something that we need to attack on a smaller scale. The BCA could do something like that.
There might be somebody out there that has a family property that they're not doing anything with, that they would like to partner with us on doing something like that. I mean, it doesn't have to, we don't have to, you know, go, you know, turning up stones looking for the names of somebody or a surveyor stick or something. But if somebody's out there would be interested in doing something like that, they may have gone through one of the things that, you know, I went through. I don't know whether you went through with a parent again, they, you know, moving them out of their house because they've got dementia and they can't take care of themselves because when they do, they're out in the snow and half naked. And, you know, they may have gone through that kind of thing.
And, so, you need to provide
some kind of safe haven.
Yeah, haven for them.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's an idea that I think could work.
I think so.
And so if anyone's listening and do have a space, a family property that could be used for said purpose, you can reach out to the BCA and 356-8850 or go on our website, bahamancontractors.org.
Yes.
I don't think there's a dash now.
No.
So that's ideas one through five.
Even a place for kids to go do their homework.
I'm telling you.
You know, because sometimes, you know, your parents don't get home until 6 or 7. You finish school at 3. What do you do?
And for a lot of people, they may not even have access to the resources.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But in your community, because I'm concerned about children going far from where they live.
Right. No, that's why you do it in your community, you know, where you've got aunts and uncles and people like that. But maybe not somebody that you could actually go do homework at because maybe nobody's going to be there. Maybe it's going to be too quiet. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's going to be too noisy. Maybe it's going to be people coming in and out.
But hold on, Debbie.
You know?
Hold on. Okay, so now you have the house. Let's say we move forward and we got the house.
Right.
It's now the home on Stately Street for the young people, right?
Right.
And it's there. Mm-hmm. You have people who are tired all the time, sitting at home doing nothing. You know what they love to do? Mm-hmm. Be the guardian who comes there from 2:30 before school gets out till 6 when the parents come to pick up the kids. And they're the guardian there.
So they can be my word. They can be relevant again.
Yeah, that's the word. They will be relevant.
Yes.
And you know who? They're going to love that.
They will.
Just to get to interact with these young people who haven't seen what they've seen. You get a chance to talk to them and say, hey, kid, I remember when I was your age 80 years ago. Yeah, you want to kind of focus on these books. That's something. I think that we don't create, and it's like you said, we don't create enough spaces for the lending and sharing of our talents, the think tanks, the things that we could really blossom some wonderful ideas out of them, we don't create enough spaces to talk about them.
We don't even have, when persons get older, they remember everything.
They don't forget a thing. I can tell you that.
They don't. But no one ever documents it, right? So we're really not saving any of our heritage because we're letting it go because we're too busy to actually record it, write it down. Mm-hmm. You know, we always
ask
talk
them
about
questions.
Yeah, like at Christmas time, you know, you sit and talk about. Remember when Aunt Sue did this, and you remember when Grandma did this.
Someone archive it.
Yeah,
someone
that but we don't do that anymore.
So that house could be the space for all of that.
It could be for grown-ups and kids.
For all of
that. Yes.
And we have too many opportunities where we could do something like that, and we're not. And so hopefully this show, this conversation about it today, inspires someone to think about that more deeply than we have and see how we can make that happen. Because I just think, what a beautiful community that could be if one of those existed. Now imagining if every community had one house like that.
Because, you know, a lot of people will say, let's say you're working and you're in your 40s and you've got kids to, you know, pick up and take back to school and sports and all that kind of stuff, but you've got older people, and unfortunately you just find them a burden as opposed to
a blessing.
A blessing, right? And then you also have other persons that are, you know, find the children, oh, they're too noisy, I can't deal with this. You know, we don't take the time to appreciate. I sent you the video.
You sent me the video.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
a beautiful
of a 10-year-old.
Video.
Yeah, it was just amazing. And we don't take the time to really link the youth and the working class
and the older people together.
Yeah. And it's sad because they all have something to offer for each other.
About this old house, and now this is stuck. This is stuck. There's a grandeur to looking at a home that you know predates your existence.
Yeah.
There's something about that. You look at the architectural period. There's a house, and I will remind, and anyone who could call in, and they could call in because they know this house. There's a house on Nassau Street, because I just passed it again. For my entire life, this house has been here. And I haven't been here a whole lot of time, but I haven't been here for a short time yet either. This house is made out of 8-inch shiplap siding. The original shiplap siding, unpainted wood on Nassau Street. Now, I know the friends who I know who live inside the Bain and Grandson community know this house. It is on the left-hand side of the street. If my memory serves me correct, before Super Value and before the rectory, I was in Sisters of St. Benedict. Was not, it's on the left-hand side. That house has never had paint on it. That house has passed through every hurricane.
Because in those days, they would have... Again, they would have taken the logs, right? Let's say they were from Abaco or wherever.
That house.
And they would have put them in the sea, in the seawater.
Every hurricane. It has never been painted.
Because
it is
painting
the
it
color
would be,
of the wood.
Painting it would be a shame.
Exactly. It is the color of the wood.
Wonderful.
That like that house needs to be archived.
Gray.
It is shiplap, the original shiplap siding.
Well, I understand. I understand there is a historical society, and supposedly there's a certain age that buildings, if they're a such certain age and older, then they have to be restored as opposed to demolished.
You say that
and
word
that
"have"
kind of
to,
Well, I know. I'm saying the word "have to."
You like to say "have to," and
well,
I say it should be.
I only like to say the word "have to" because that's a law, and just because
Because it's a law,
it
which
doesn't
we should
get
do,
done. But I'm just
but
saying,
it doesn't get done.
Yeah, it's a shame that, that those things.
Bahamas Historical Society. I remember as a young adult going there. Sadly, the building looked exactly the way it looked when I went there when I was in high school for a research project. But I employ them to do more. This country is rich with history, which unfortunately we don't do enough to preserve.
No.
And we certainly don't do enough to promote to the young people who know very little about the rich history of this country, which all of us participate in either two things, the demise and scarcity of that knowledge or the advancement and promotion of that knowledge. So I think we are burdened both ways.
Yeah.
Whether we do something or whether we don't do anything.
Yeah, it's a shame because when students are in school, they don't really learn that kind of stuff.
No.
They don't learn community stuff. They don't learn about... They probably don't even learn about why different areas in the in Nassau have particular names. Some people may not even know about Collins Wall.
No, they not the true history of it.
Yeah.
They get some bastardized political history of Collins Wall. No one's telling anyone the truth.
No.
And I said that and I want to say it publicly. What the political persons have told you about the history of Collins Wall from their spectrum is not the actual factual history of Collins Wall. So whatever they told you, just throw it out. It's garbage. That's not the factual information. I said that. If they want to check me on the facts, mm-hmm. there's outside resources that could tell them better than the stories they told you about how it was X, Y, and Z and all that other stuff. That's mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm. It works for politics. It's not history. History yeah. doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Off the beaten path, I want to ask you if you recognize something. Shirley Street is an interesting thing in terms of construction and observation. Mm-hmm. So we're going far. So right now we have the embassy now on Shirley Street, right?
Yes.
So next to the embassy on top of the hill is what? East of the embassy on top of the hill.
The staircase.
No, that's all the way. Oh. On top of the hill, mm-hmm. when you take through, is that Science Lane?
You go in the back, mm-hmm. yeah.
Right next to the embassy's property is the property owned by the Catholic Church. And all that property down to Shirley Street mm-hmm. is owned by the Catholic Church. But look at the wrought iron railing that goes all the way up to the embassy fence. Mm-hmm. It's the same wrought iron railing gate system that's mm-hmm. on Collins Wall. It's the exact same railing. Go
oh, wow.
take note of it, take a photo of that, mm-hmm. and go to Collins Wall and take a photo. It's the same wrought iron. So you did two things happen. Mm-hmm. The wrought iron fabricator mm-hmm. was the same guy who did both properties. And also, the mm-hmm. two things you should observe as well, and also, part of that wall is in front of Princess Margaret Hospital.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you think about what's there now. You got Collins Estate, little gaps in between, well, mm-hmm. Grosvenor Close and all that stuff, PMH, mm-hmm. same wrought iron wall, then, right. then a corner, and then this other property just before you get to the embassy. Mm-hmm. There had to have been three magnificent structures, homes, estates, and people who had a lot of money and access to have that kind of wrought iron gates all on Shirley Street.
What, there was a building there. Is it still there, or did they knock it down?
On where the embassy property is? No, the building's knocked down. But I'm talking before east
you,
of the embassy.
Before you get to the embassy, on the left side.
Yes, there's a building driving on top of the hill.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's owned by Catholic Church, the Catholic Diocese.
Okay, all right, yeah.
And if you go on the top of that, mm-hmm. it's people don't appreciate. When they stand in that building, they see all the way up to Prince George.
I would imagine.
Yeah, because that's a hill. They're on top of that hill.
Yeah. Well, that's where the wealthy person
yeah,
would have
they was on
lived
top of the hill.
Because they wanted the view.
And the needed, gate and thing and is at the bottom mm-hmm. of the garden.
Yeah.
That's at the bottom of the garden.
Wow.
So we have beautiful architecture in this country. We have beautiful historic buildings. We don't yeah. appreciate and understand the dimensions of depth of beauty we could share to the tourist public. I'm so disappointed that we don't look at tourism in the way I would look at tourism. Tourism to me is a lived experience, not a manufactured one. And you and I talked about it before, earlier what? Today. We talked about
yes.
you going to Celebration Key and the tourists are saying, it's a Disneyland to them. It's
yeah, like
it's
I told
a fabricated
you.
Space.
Like I told you when I went,
yeah.
when we were in the hospital, with my son-in-law, ran into these people that were on a cruise ship. Mm-hmm. It was an older couple, and then it was a middle-aged lady mm-hmm. who was friends of theirs. And so what happened was he got ill, so they got off the ship. She came off with them, and we were just chit-chatting because mm-hmm. I thought, are you from here? Are you from Abaco? I didn't mm-hmm. know where they were from, right? So we just chatted. And then she said, yeah, she said, we got off here. She said, but the next stop was Great Stirrup Cay. And she said, it's like a playground. We got all of those all in Florida. We don't want to come here and mm-hmm. see that. We want mm-hmm. something authentically Bahamian. You know, we want to sit under a grass
tiki hut
and drink coconuts. Drinks out of coconuts, and we want quiet and peace and quiet. That's what we want. Yeah, we don't yeah. want this. We can get this anywhere in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And but what do? All of our beautiful keys yeah. are now these.
Yeah, these Tinseltown.
Because somebody thinks they Disney. Want them, and probably the people making the most money are the ones that think that that's
who's,
what they
who's,
want.
Who's narrating the story?
Yes.
I'll say this. In that part of the story, you lose another thing. Who could roll back? And I want callers, think about it, roll back. Numbers to call, because I want you to call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and from the Family Island, 300-5720. Text line powered by BTC is 422-4796. Mm-hmm. Think about how Chunkano Beach looked in the 80s. mm-hmm. littered with mm-hmm. tiki hats.
Yeah.
You know today, Debbie, mm-hmm. if you wanted to create an authentic tiki hut with a thatched palm roof, mm-hmm. you couldn't find a carpenter who could make that right now. They could make the structure. Mm-hmm. That thatch palm roof.
Yes, it takes a talent.
And weave that.
It takes a talent. Yeah.
So it doesn't leak.
Yeah, we did a bunch of them over to Shipwreck Key.
Okay.
Chris Blackwell's key.
So it doesn't leak. Thatch right. palm. Mm-hmm. No plywood under it.
No.
No grease ice and water shield. No. You're talking about they weave the thing. And I remember as a kid going to the beach, it rained and we had to retreat under them. It didn't leak.
I know.
We do not appreciate the craftsmanship of our people that we've had for years. And as we create these structures that don't need all that stuff, all of a sudden we've missed that whole technology.
We always think that new is better.
That's not true. That's not what you come to paradise for.
No.
Anyway, we got a caller. Let's take this call. Let's see what they got to say about this. Caller, go ahead. You're live.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well.
You know why most of our keys are turning into like our theme parks and stuff? It's not done by the humans. It's all done by Americans, and that is the American style, and they're bringing their style to us. So that it's not authentically Bahamian. That's why we're going to have theme parks and not Bahamian artifacts and stuff like that on those keys.
But let me ask you a question, Colin. I think you're so right with your comments. If you're going to, let's say you're going to Jamaica, you're a traveler. What would you want to see in Jamaica?
Oh, I'm looking for Jamaican stuff. That's what I'm looking for. Let me tell you how we so mixed up. Bahamian Kong salad is normally lime, onion, maybe some cucumber. But now we got tropical salad. Bahamians are all mixed up. We add so much things into our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have lost our way, and that's why we have theme parks the way it is. Like the Prime Minister should say, listen, I don't want too much, although he can't tell them, but he could advise that we want it to be more Bahamian. Sitting on the beach, theme park, mm-hmm. you learn how to fish with hand line and not a fishing rod.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Carl, I think you're spot on with your commentary, because if you tell someone you're coming to the Bahamas and your takeaway should be a Bahamian experience, an experience like Debbie said that the individual said they can get the same thing in Florida. Then why would they come to the Bahamas?
Let me give you this, and you might laugh at this. One time, me and my friend we went to Cape Canaveral, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking for a fishing boat, and we went to this hotel. It's called Faulty Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you put up your name, where you're from, and all that other stuff, and there was an extra $10 for ocean view. Now, I live in Andros. All I got is water. she said, Mrs. Saunders, there's an extra $10 charge if you want ocean view.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the ocean was still 5 miles away. Because, you know, you were up there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, put me in the back as far as you possibly can. I don't want to see water. So if the Americans are coming from America,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to see the stuff that is in America.
And you exactly. Your point is actually well taken. I think if you honestly ask the tourists before you did the development, you'd hear something different from what you're building.
Yes.
But you can't get nothing different because they are American. That's what they're used to. So they can put there what they think American wants. So all we are doing is putting our country more like the American way.
But when we sell properties here, right, and somebody wants to do a project, we have environmental laws, right? Could we not have Bahamian laws and historical laws mm-hmm. or that something?
Aesthetic, something that gives more direction to what the development should look like. I think that's the
nobody,
direction
I'm going to go with that. Like the thing that's going over on Paradise Island now. So they're going to build that, and they're going to have the people that are on a cruise ship. They can see that from where they're from the cruise ship.
Last thing before I go, and then I'm going to just mm-hmm. listen to the show. You see Junkanoo, right? Normally mm-hmm. when I'm at Junkanoo, a lot of tourists would come and say, "Oh, how do they do this and how do they play that?"
Mm-hmm.
They say, but the Junkanoo group only have two knocks. You know, the bass drum only go boom boom
boom boom, mm-hmm.
but they could play every song in the world of those
with two knocks.
Correct.
You follow me?
Yes, you're correct. So, you're 100%.
So, go ahead.
No, I said you're 100% right with that. You're 100% right
with
that.
Yes, So we got to try to learn to keep things Bohemian as much as we can.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty of our culture.
I mean, I find it's
thank you very much for your call.
Thank you so much. I find it absolutely ridiculous that they're going to actually have boats that are going to take people off of the cruise ship and take them 300 or 400 feet over
to
an island that you know the first hurricane, everything's going to be gone, and that's going to be in the harbor, right? You know that, right?
Hopefully not.
Well,
hopefully not.
What are they going to do with the lawn chairs? If they're planning on taking like 5,000 people there a day, what are they going to do with those?
They have to have storage for those things. They mean underground storage.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so what kind of storage? If you've got a 20-foot wave, what's that going to do?
It's going to go over the storage building, of course.
Oh, okay. We're going to have a conversation after the the storm.
I agree with you. I just think they have to foresee that part of the island is a break wall for the rest of the
island. Well, that's what it is, but I don't want them to destroy it so it doesn't do its job. By the way, somebody had called probably a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, asked Leonard if he wanted him to look at a house that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got a name from the producer.
So person,
and we've been asking the producer.
If
you could, call back and leave your name with the producer, because Leonard would be more than willing and interested in seeing what you're looking at. And we would like to follow through with that, please.
All right, so we got to go to our first break, and we'll be back after this.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
But don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FRP's the new steel in town. No salty air will ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FRP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to Russ forever.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the odd hours.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We are back to Nail It on Guardian 96.9, having wonderful discussion that we're going to continue, but we got to go to our sponsors.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much, everybody, who has been a sponsor of our show and continues to be a sponsor. If it weren't for you, we would not be here. So we have ART, which is...
Fiberglass rebar.
There you
new
go.
New technology that everyone should be looking there into for go. Their new home construction.
Yeah, we have CB Bahamas.
Yeah.
We have Bahamas Safety Solutions.
You got to be safe for doing construction.
You have to be safe, yes. And then we also have Family Guardian.
For all your insurance need, trust Family Guardian.
Yes.
I think that's the actual commercial.
Yes.
I'll send them a bill later. So, Debbie, we talked about, and this show, sometimes... People talk to us after the show and say, well, y'all don't just talk about construction. And my answer to them is, yeah, we do. Because everything is construction.
Everything.
Everything.
Where you live, where you go to the bank, when you go to the grocery store, name it.
Listen, we're going to have Junkanoo. You know what they have to do?
They have to build a shack.
They have to build a shack and erect bleachers.
Yes.
Erecting something is construction.
It is.
That's on my check. Mm-hmm. You're going to have something at the fish fry. You have to erect shacks. Guess what they have to do? Someone has to build. You have to have carpenters out there. You have to have electricians to bring lighting. Mm-hmm. You have to have persons to set up the kitchens. You have to. That's construction. Mm-hmm. You want to do something out at the airport for the receive guests who are coming in. You want to have a little Junkanoo on a platform. Someone has to build something. You have to have a runway show. Someone has to build a runway. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you think about. Someone has to build something. That's construction. So our conversations, yes, it does stretch beyond what you may frame in your mind is not construction, but all of it is construction. They're having discussions about a new parliament. That's construction.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
the last time I checked.
Remember the beginning
it's
of
building
the year
they're going to be in, right?
We were talking about the renovation we were doing at the rugby pitch because, for 3 or 4 years there was nothing happening there. So
it's
even the sports. Yeah.
It's construction. We're talking about ongoing the conversations in the public about the opening of the A&E. That's construction.
Yes.
It's construction. You can't talk about anything in a developing country that won't involve construction.
Absolutely.
Hence why the Bahamian Contractors Association tries to encourage the government to involve us in the discussion. Because everything you plan to develop involves construction. You're talking about infrastructure projects. That's construction.
Even if you are a household owner and you have a huge leak in your kitchen because of your sink or your plumbing, you have to call
a plumber.
A plumber.
You got a light bill and you suspect that the power bill is not right and you want to do an audit, you need to call an electrician. Mm-hmm. I mean, your AC is running hot.
Everything.
It may not be running efficiently. You need to call an AC contractor.
Everything.
You got cracks in your wall outside. You need to call a masonry contractor. You can't about any single thing that does not involve construction.
Even where we're sitting right here.
Because we live in the built environment. And I say that proudly. Contractors are artists of the built an environment. Even when your last time of breathing, And it's just how powerful we are. A contract is involved because some carpenter made that gasket.
Yeah.
You cannot get away from us. When you're born, you're inside a hospital that was built by a contractor. And when you die, you're in a casket. And somebody dug the hole. You're still seeing labor costs until death. You can't run away from it.
No.
And if you think about it that way, and people say, oh, y'all always have something to say, whatever, because we're involved in everything. That's what we have to talk about it. We're involved in everything. There is no aspect of every single dollar that the government plans to spend, will spend, has spent, that does not involve the construction space.
Yeah. Because what have they been doing for the last 6 weeks? Getting their schools ready, which is construction. Right?
I was watching the paint coming up there on Nassau Street, obviously, I love the school. So again, there is no part of our daily existence as humans on this planet where we don't interface with construction, some type of activity at all. And because we're inside the nation that we are, and because we're inside this Bahamas, which is just south of the most prosperous nation in the world, which is the United States of America, construction is going to be a part of our life for the foreseeable future.
Right.
And also, because of that, again, on this show, we encourage the members of our government to appreciate the value of connecting and conversating with the Bahamian Contractors Association, because we have a wealth of knowledge and experience to lend to the decisions that you may make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we want. We just, you know, sometimes, and I want to say this publicly, people misunderstand the message that we try to convey. It's not that we want to dictate or seek to dictate or tell, but I could tell you one thing. We certainly stand in the best position to advise.
Because we have done it so many times that we basically are experts at whatever it could possibly be, right?
That's it.
And we're not going to guide somebody badly.
No.
We're going to say, you've been doing this way for your whole life, mm-hmm. but let's show you how you should have done it. I'm going to use just a door.
A door.
A door should open out. Mm-hmm. Because of hurricanes, mm-hmm. but people have them opening in because
all the time.
That's what you see on TV, right?
In New York, where they don't have hurricanes, or inside Seattle, or inside a space, we don't have these conditions.
We've done it before. Yeah.
We know it's not going. And I want to take this opportunity to speak for 1 minute. I heard one of the guests on the White Show this morning, I was driving to work, talk about the fact that we now need so many nurses in the system that come from Cuba, and we're having some challenge because the United States policy is changing. Was not that same conversation that you're having there? The lady on the show said, "If we just focus on creating critical mass locally, we wouldn't have the issue today of relying on people to come in. With now, we may not be able to get."
Right.
And it's the same conversation that we have been saying about construction.
Educate.
If you educate and prepare the people you have in country, you won't need to import the people from out of the country.
That's why we had the course that we just had last week. We had the course for 3 days. That was an amazing course. Yeah. All of the feedback was amazing. And the whole purpose of it is we want to teach. We want persons to be able to be the greatest contractors.
The best that they could be.
To know about estimating, to know about contracts, to know about pay schedules, to know about business life, to know all of that stuff. Right? To make you a success.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
And where would you get it if you didn't get trained in it?
You're not going to get it anywhere
else.
So
it was interesting to hear that conversation this morning, recognizing that industry is facing the same challenge that the construction industry is facing, the challenge where we did not prepare. And all of this is the result, Debbie, of lack of preparedness. If you said you're running a business, right, Debbie, and all you do is hang doors, and you got a fantastic carpenter, but he's 60 years old,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have an understudy, and then he retires at 63, just for whatever, I'm done, I'm not going to work anymore. You miss an opportunity to have somebody trained under him so to continue your business.
And you're out of business.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing in construction. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that's what we're doing inside medicine.
Mm-hmm.
We're not training enough. And I'm not saying we're not training. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, if you're telling me that we're critically short because we can't reinstate 60 or 70 Cuban nurses in a country of 450,000 people, you telling me we couldn't gratis,
but
sponsored with no cost, take 100 young women from every high school and say, guess what? We're going to make you nurses for free. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to pay you.
Yeah.
Through UV. Pay for the whole thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just so you don't have that challenge. Yeah. I don't understand. And I don't want us to seem like the rocket science in the room. But if you're telling me we are short of something that we could have actually trained for free, so we don't be short and we didn't do it, it looks at us at that level and said, did we really think about that?
Do you remember 30 years ago when you had children and they were going to go off to university? They had to go off to be a lawyer or an accountant. That was what was pushed.
That was a preacher.
Was what was pushed back then.
Doctor or lawyer.
And no one ever took the time to actually go to like Solomon Adderley, right, mm-hmm. on Hay Street, right? He used to have some young apprentices, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. then when he got ill, the business basically just closed right mm-hmm. down, right? We never took the time to do that. We only thought you have to be a lawyer and you have to have a prestigious job, lawyer and accountant, mm-hmm. right? And you have to be able to make lots of money. Well, we made so many lawyers that a lot of them don't make any money because there's so many.
I'm not sure they don't make a lot of money.
No, but I'm just saying, you know,
bill or two.
But you know what I'm saying.
They make a lot of money.
But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. We have a lot of
money. Yeah.
You could find them anytime you open up a phone book. You certainly could find a lawyer.
You know, so.
But yeah, you're absolutely right about mm-hmm. that. And
we never took the time
to do the trades
of things that everybody needs. Everybody needs a door hung.
Everybody
needs a lock change.
Everybody needs a window change now.
Everything. Yes.
You know, we go. That's another thing with renovation. We do retrofitting house. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, all the contractors are busy doing mm-hmm. stuff, mm-hmm. but you want to change all the windows in your house. Mm-hmm. Who's going to do that? You know, my brother.
I have some people.
That's good. Exactly. My brother had the hardest time mm-hmm. Because. The company he bought the window from on mm-hmm. a great deal, mm-hmm. or they sold him the windows, mm-hmm. but then he had to find somebody mm-hmm. to take out his old windows mm-hmm. and install the new windows.
And if you're installing a window that you're going to call an impact window, mm-hmm. an insulated window, you actually have to learn how to install it properly.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, that sucker's going to blow in. I don't care how much the window itself is rated if you haven't attached it properly, that sucker's still going to blow in.
So again, these are all things that trained people, that's the value. And I think we talk about this, is that people don't appreciate when a contractor or a tradesperson has training, like that value. You can't just replace that easily.
No.
That's someone who've learned a craft.
Right.
And they are good at it. For you to just try to duplicate that, you won't get the same result.
No.
And you, the homeowner, is then robbed of that value. And that's why for us, it's important. We talk about it all the time. We have to train our young people to be the next generations of carpenters, electricians, plumbing, auto mechanics, butchers, everything. We have to train them. Because when we need them, the fair for me, they may not be available. And I don't want to have to go into a store and have to talk to a clerk in a different language because we couldn't find any Bahamian who knows what a piece of 2x4 and I can figure out what 2x4 is inside Latin. I don't want to do that.
So again, we also need to let people know that the construction industry is not just all mixing cement and moving blocks. Of course, and there's so many different trades and there's so much money to be actually made in the industry. And you can actually have respect for the industry and the trade that you're in. You don't have to say, well, oh, I'm just a carpenter. Are you kidding? Just a carpenter? You know what I wouldn't give to be able to be a carpenter?
Exactly. Just a carpenter.
I mean, it's a talent.
It's a reversal. We have to reversal. And so the BCA is going to be the ones pushing the message.
Yes.
We're proud of the men and women in the trades, in the skills. And they are, and I often say, they are the voiceless people out there that we lift voices for. And let the country know that they exist. Mm-hmm. No one, and I said this at a membership meeting just Wednesday, no other space can you come and connect with like-minded individuals in your profession?
No.
To join the BCA. I mean, you're going to go to a bar and you can talk to a doctor, a lawyer, accountant, a banker somewhere. Where can you go where only the conversation is in people in your craft? It's in the Contractors Association.
A building store where you're standing in line waiting to get served.
That's another place. Exactly.
But I mean, I know what you mean. You mean where you actually get to know, like we just had our luncheon on Wednesday,
and
right?
And you meet people you did not know.
Right, and a brand new business is coming here that we've seen on videos.
On video, but
we've never
in the Bahamas.
Seen here. Yeah. So I mean, these are the kind of things that we wouldn't know, and anybody who joins can actually be, well, actually, you don't even have to be a member to come to the luncheons, to be perfectly honest.
Just come to the luncheon,
just come and see what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Once you do, you're going to want to be a member because you're not going to want to miss all the stuff that we're doing.
And there's a lot of opportunities. But I think that the country is going to get to a place where they value more the vocational skills of our men and women, the skills that you can't just look at YouTube and figure out. You have to know how to do it. You have to be trained in how to do it. And there are hundreds and possibly thousands of really good professionals out there in the spaces that they work that would make you proud to have them into your homes doing work for you.
Yeah, we have to have, somehow we have to change the image of what it's like to be in construction.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people just have a very low opinion of somebody who's in the industry. And I'll tell you what, if you know a really good mason or a really good carpenter.
Send the numbers.
Or even a plumber who can figure out something that no one else can figure out. And you say, why didn't the other five plumbers know how to do that? Because this person was the kind of person that was never challenged.
Yeah.
He would always find a solution. He would never stop until he found a solution. That's what's interesting about the industry. You are a solution solver every single day.
Yeah, you can't leave a problem unsolved.
No.
But this is and again we gonna be romantic about it because in all the things we discussed today, it's about understanding the whole gamut of construction. It's ideas about how we could help communities. It's the challenges with the environmental concerns and construction involved in it, because someone's going to have to build that thing. We talked about the Samson Key. Someone's going to be a part of building the seawall, which is much talked about. It's all construction.
But
we've
talked about before all of these vacant houses that are here. They're talking about there's not enough houses. Well, you know, let's take some of these houses that are already built and renovate them and let persons live in them. Not let them, but I mean, you know, sell them or lease them or rent them.
These houses
a second life. And also it gives the people in the subdivision that they're in a better way of having their property, because you lose value of your property if you have a whole bunch of abandoned houses.
Derelict houses on your street.
People just wonder, why are these people moving? And then nobody's going to want to buy in the subdivision. If they do, they're going to want to buy it for half the price,
and you don't want
you
that.
Know, yeah, so there's a lot of things that we need to do, and I think I'm really proud of the BCA.
We've done a lot. We're going to do a lot, and persons are going to appreciate the institution that the BCA has been for the past almost 70 years, and the work that it tries to accomplish in advancing and promoting best practices in construction, and its push for licensing.
And if you've got a great idea out there, somebody,
send it to us.
It's easy to get in touch with us.
Yeah.
You could either leave your name with a producer.
Call the BCA.
Yes.
356-8850. You don't have to be a contractor. Say, hey, I have an idea.
Yeah.
Why don't the BCA look at this? We will document it. We look at it. If we can do it, we try it.
And we could send it out to our members and say, would anybody be interested in doing something like this?
So the
website is, email is admin@bahamiancontractors.com. And the website is www.bahamiancontractors.org.
Yes.
I finally learned all
that. Yeah, yeah.
It's a tongue twister.
It's a tongue twister. But this has been an interesting show. I think we've had a very, very good discussion.
I like your idea about the community.
I think we could work on that. I think that's a project that we should put some flesh to.
Yeah,
let's see if we could do that. Let's identify a house.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's find a house.
You drive around, I'll drive around, yeah. And next Thursday we'll come up with an idea. Let's find a house. And somebody out there might know of a place that might be.
And we make it a really cool, big community project.
Mm-hmm. Get everybody involved.
Get everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
Get everyone involved.
There's a lot of persons that lived in Bayntown, Grantstown, and Mason's Addition that grew up there that are now doctors and lawyers.
Lawyers coming to got all the money in the country. You know? Yeah, I
so
like it.
So you go back to the roots and just say, listen, this is where you came from. Let's see what we can do in this in this area.
And we certainly know all the contractors, and that's a beautiful relationship.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyhow, ladies and gents, that's our show for today. We thank you for listening to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. This is Leonard Sands along with
Deborah Deal.
And it has been an absolute pleasure, and we'll see you next week Thursday.
Yes.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have that capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Odd Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.